Before we move on, we've got a little bit of breaking news.
It's brought to you by Radio.com, the sports app. Also, Indeed.com. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. And let's throw it back to John M. Shipman at the mothership.
Yeah, guys, this from Vic Tafur, my new guy from The Athletic. He says Antonio Brown is playing Monday. So he will be back for the Oakland Raiders. He held a quick statement. He said Antonio is back today. We're excited about that. Ready to move on. Gruden says the plan is to have Antonio Brown play on Monday.
Okay, so he basically got the team captains to get his back, and he apologized to everybody enough for them to forgive him so he can play. Now that he's going to be on the roster, if he's on the roster at 3 o'clock on Monday, his contract becomes guaranteed, and he doesn't lose $30 million of guaranteed money?
According to Phil Yates, his 14.5 base salary will become guaranteed at 3 p.m. on Monday.
For this season.
For this season.
That's good for him, man. That's he doesn't have to cause another problem until Tuesday, so that's pretty good. Or he could do it at halftime.
Can he keep from doing that?
We will be talking about another. Let's do this for real. We will be talking about another Antonio Brown dust up. Let's talk about, let's say something significant, like, in other words, I don't know, missing a practice is not, I don't know, but something like he's at war with somebody. I predict by, if I do the over and under, between game 2 and 3 of the season. Do you guys take the over, the under?
I'd take the under.
Okay.
Something's going to happen.
It's got to, right?
Something's going to happen. Once his money's guaranteed, he's good. Joining us now to talk a little Dallas Cowboys football is the best in the business from DallasCowboys.com, the great Brian Broadison. Brian, you worked in the league for many years, and obviously teams can tolerate a lot of this type of stuff, shenanigans and distractions, if a player's good enough, but would you be able to handle, if Antonio Brown came to your football team, would you be able to tolerate his shenanigans for that type of talent right now?
Well, yeah, you have to think about what he does on, for the games. And, yeah, but the hope is that you can find ways. Obviously, the Pittsburgh Steelers were able to kind of maintain throughout the years he was there in Pittsburgh, to keep him on the field, to kind of keep things under wraps. You know, you have to have a strong locker room in order to do things like that. And, he has other things in mind, what he wants to do. And so, it's funny because I wanted to reach out to John Gruden and just kind of see what John was thinking about all this. I said, no, I'll just let that sleeping dog lie there. So, I feel like, though, there's certain things that you can tolerate. And, players do matter. But every organization is different the way they handle players. And, maybe the way that, with Mike Mayock, and, Mike is a pretty strong-minded guy. And, if he felt like that he was being, pushed, Mike is going to push back. And so, the fact that the player came with hat in hand and had to apologize in front of the team, and because he felt like, well, hey, they're serious. They're going to let me go, and I'm going to lose this money. I think says a lot about what the Raiders did, just to stand up to him and say, okay, you're here to play football. Now go play football. So not surprising that they're bringing him back, but, you have to – each situation has its own things you have to work through. I remember talking to Andy Reid about Terrell Owens, and, he said he was the most divisive player I've ever had in a locker room in my life. He said, it was difficult to deal with that. He says, but he was a tremendous talent. So coaches are willing to put up with a lot of things in order to get those players on the field.
It's interesting that you brought that up. I want to talk Giants-Cowboys, but I'm sitting here thinking about you being around at that time period and knowing Parcells and Parcells calling him the player. How did Parcells deal with all that?
Well, I'll tell you what, I had a huge argument, and I believe it cost me my job with Bill Parcells and, about Charles Woodson. And we fought on Charles Woodson. I mean, hard on Charles Woodson. And Bill said, I'm too old to coach malcontent players. Don't bring me malcontent players. And I said, you're just listening to Al Davis. You don't know this. You don't know, his teammates love him. He's a, he's a warrior and all. He goes, no, he's not. He's a malcontent. You don't know, And so we went back and forth. And Charles Woodson goes on and goes to Green Bay and is an MVP player, outstanding for them, played safety. And, we could have used a player like that. But, there's certain coaches that just will not tolerate that. They just don't want to deal with the headaches. And some of the really good coaches, I mean, for example, John Snyder told me in Seattle, he says, you know, Brian, I don't want to have a bunch of players on my roster that are bad guys. I really don't. I don't want a bunch of problems. He goes, but Pete Carroll has convinced me that he can coach these guys. He can bring them together. He can make them work together. He can have them all live in harmony together. And he says it's different. He goes, you know, like I say, sometimes you get in those situations where if you have a coach that you know he's going to get run over, then you're going to, you know, you're not going to want to bring those types of players. And then you get a guy like Pete Carroll, who everybody pretty much respects. Players like him, and, you know, those guys play hard for him, and you can kind of go for that route right there.
One of the most exciting things I'm looking forward to with the beginning of the Cowboys' official season, the regular season, is what is Kellen Moore going to bring to this offense? I don't think we saw a lot of it because I think that's by design. They're not trying to show anybody anything in the preseason.
Right.
And maybe they feel like they can beat the Giants without putting a lot of things on film that are different. I don't know, but I would think we'll start to see some different wrinkles immediately in this game. What do you think? Let me put it to you like this. Do you think the differences in this Giants game, do you think it's going to be notable and visible right off the bat? You're like, oh, damn, okay, this looks different.
Yeah, I think things will be very noticeable when you talk about, scheme-wise. I think he's going to do a really good job of trying to create space. And I've talked about that in the OTAs and the 30-some-odd practices that I've watched. I feel like the route combinations that he has and he wants to get involved, he wants to create windows for Dak Prescott to throw the football. He wants to be able to find ways to get his running game going, whether it's through formation, through personnel groups. You know, I do feel like you're going to see a lot of different types of looks. You know, deep down inside, yeah, they want to be a physical football team. They want to be able to run the football, you know, and I think there were two teams last night that played in that game that felt like if they could have run the football better or continually run the football, maybe it would have helped their quarterbacks play a little bit better throughout that game. But, I think that they, you know, we talk about balance. Yeah, that's something they always look at. Are we going to see more first down runs? Maybe not. Maybe we'll see Dak Prescott more first down throws, stuff like that. I think people would be very happy to see that. And, you know, I just think that Kellen Moore has a little bit more creativeness to him in what he wants to do with personnel. He knows he's got a lot of guys to work with on this offense, and he's going to make sure that he gets the ball in their hands and takes advantage of the situations that he's presented with.
Brian Broaddus joining us on the Ben and Skin Show. What do you think this Rod Marinelli and Chris Richard and those guys are anticipating offensively from the Giants? First game, how different will they be this year? We know Saquon's involved and not sure if Eli's the quarterback all year long. How do you prepare for the Giants?
Well, I think you prepare for the Giants in a way that you have to take away a couple of players if you can. I think you have to be very mindful of the Saquon Barkley, because he reminds me of Barry Sanders when I was working in with the Packers and having to face him twice a year. And then, it's a 2-yard run, 3-yard run, 5-yard run, 85-yard run. You know, that's the kind of what you deal with this guy. You could stop him 2 or 3 times, and then he hits you on that big play because you missed a tackle at the point of attack. Then you missed another tackle at the second level, and now he's gone for a touchdown. So you have to be very mindful of him running the football. You have to be very mindful of him bouncing the football, making cuts, those violent cuts. He's got tremendous balance. You have to worry about him catching the ball in the flat. And then turning it upfield. He can paralyze you in the open field with one-on-one tackles. If you're not fully committed, he will embarrass you that way. So I think you have to take care of him, and I think you have to think about Evan Engram, the tight end who really plays more as a wide receiver. You know, the Cowboys are equipped to handle stuff like that because they will use Jeff Heath. They will use Xavier Woods. They have the option to put a Byron Jones there. They have the option to put a Jordan Lewis there. So they have a lot of different ways to try and keep those two particular players from really hurting them in this football game. They're much better on their offensive line. Feel like that they've upgraded their right tackle in Mike Reimers, who they got from the Minnesota Vikings. In the past, it's been the Bobby Harts and, you know, the Wheelers and guys like that haven't been any good. So this will be a little bit better matchup for Tank Lawrence to have to go against. But we're going to see a huge rotation with this defensive line to try and combat not only the running game, but to put pressure on Manning.
Now, Broaddus, I want to flip it around to the other side of the ball. And I thought Travis so far held up through preseason and camp.
Yes, he did.
We know the issues with Zach Martin's back, and we know Connor Williams stepping up in year two. I look at the Giants on defense, and the thing that jumps out at me is that B.J. Hill Dalvin Tomlinson, and then you're going to have Dexter Lawrence, who they took at the 17th pick in the draft. Big guys, defensive tackles who could maybe cause some havoc on the inside. Is that kind of one of the big matchups you're kind of looking forward to watching?
Yeah, I tell you what, I feel like, though, that this is where you're going to see the Cowboys really trying, and I've said this before about when you have big inside people, you tend to want to attack the edges. I can see the Cowboys playing with their mobile linemen. I could see the pulling from Martin. I could see the pulling from Frederick when uncovered. I could see even Connor Williams getting involved. I think they're going to try and get the ball on the outside, work the what we call 37, which is off the left side, 38's off the right side. You know, those plays off the edge, you know, attack that area, try and kind of wall everybody inside and then see if they can make these Jabril Peppers, that group, Antoine Bethea, those guys have to make some plays in the alley taking on blockers. So that's kind of where I think your running game is going to be. Where the Giants are really the inability, I think, their pass rush or lack of it. They don't have that big-time pass rusher. We've had this, you know, the Giants through the years, the Michael Strahans, the Jason Pierre-Pauls. You know, those guys are no longer here. They just don't have that guy. Their best pass rusher, a guy named Marcus Golden, who they got from the Arizona Cardinals. So, you know, that's kind of where they're at. If the Giants don't blitz, and if I'm James Betcher, the defensive coordinator for the Giants, I'm going to challenge Ezekiel Elliott and Pollard and also Olawale for some blitz pickup stuff, because if he just tries to play with a four-man rush, he's going to have problems in this game getting a Dak Prescott. But if he could force these running backs to have to play in this game. Now, again, how long is Zeke going to play? Could they blitz when Zeke's not in there? Could Pollard have some problems? Could Olawale have some problems? So that's kind of where it's going to be the guessing game for the Giants is, can they get him in some situations where they can blitz and force the Cowboys to have to pick those blitzes up with line with their backs that, you know, one of the backs has not had any time in training camp at all.
Awesome stuff, Brian. We really appreciate it, and we'll look forward to your coverage on social media throughout the weekend.
Sounds great, boys. Thank you.
There he goes, the great Brian Broaddus. You can read his stuff over at DallasCowboys.com. All right, coming up next, let's get back into the final cuts of the Jerry interview that we had earlier that we haven't played yet, and maybe review some of the best moments and give you our final thoughts on Cowboys-Giants as we wrap things up from the Eagles Nest, 8455 Boat Club Road. Happy to be out here in Fort Worth. We'll talk Cowboys football, talking Giants, talking Jerry Jones next on 105.3 The Fan.
All right, thank you, Shippy. Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. We'll find out what the G-Bag Nation is doing on a Friday afternoon coming up here in about 20 minutes or so. We are wrapping up lunch out here at the Eagles Nest. They're not wrapping up lunch because there's a ton of people here enjoying some good food, including the sloppy choppy sandwich. You can walk in here and find pictures of Choppy with his mouth around one of those bad boys. And then a lot of people getting their afternoon drinking going early. So shout out to those good folks. Before we move into some of this football stuff, I'd like to quickly hit it. Started really circulating today, and that is that the Dallas Mavericks are going to have a Dirk Nowitzki logo basically from the area where he hits his iconic shot, sort of that mid-post range over on the right side of the floor. It'll be on both sides. Opposite one another where he likes to operate, him doing the one-legged fade, the little graphics that are going around are kind of like a shadow-looking figure of him. But I guess it made its way in 2K, Ben. I don't play video games, so I don't know, but I think that's how it got out there. But everyone I know from the Mavs are saying, yep, that's happening this year. And NBA on TNT ended up tweeting it out. So Dirk's got to know by now that the new Maverick floor has the space on the floor where he did so much damage having a silhouette of him.
God bless him for doing it. Mark Cuban, whoever sent Marshall, whoever came up with this, whoever's executing this, God bless you for this, man. This is fantastic. And we were talking about what's a bigger deal, having this or having a statue. Now, clearly he's going to have both.
Right.
I still think they need to modify a Reunion Tower, make that ball the basketball, and then build a giant Dirk statue around it.
It'd
and have
great.
It be the one-legged fade.
Yeah.
But I think this is going to be more visible than a statue. The statue is going to be great. You could stop by, get your picture taken with it on game days. I'm sure a film crew will, you know, scan by it as you show the outside of the stadium. It'll be great. It'll be a very important thing to have. But this is going to be highly visible on every single possession of every home game we will have to sit there and think about Dirk, and that's going to make every game better.
And I think it being located in the area where he hit that shot so many times is even, you talk about the idea of leaving your mark on the game, left his mark on the floor where he did his damage. So that's really, really cool stuff. Happy that the Mavericks are doing that. Happy for Dirk. Ben and I will be out there at his charity event next Tuesday. Next Sunday. That is going to be at the SMU Tennis Center. We host it every year, his celebrity tennis event. Steve Nash coming in town for this one this year. So that's really, really cool stuff. All right, let's get into some of the Jerry audio from earlier. We haven't replayed this yet, but I love this. And this was the final question. Ben was asking him about when he called into the G-Bag Nation the other day. And he's called in before with us. He's called in before with them. And every time he calls in, there's a trend of whether it's he doesn't care anymore about winning or the fire's not burning or his age or some of those things that are all interrelated. And Ben asked him about it, and he gave a really cool answer. It's the last cut here, Shippy. Listen to what Jerry says about that.
That is fair, and it even adds to it. Now, I know a lot of people would identify this. If you don't, you will. It bothers me a little bit when they imply it's because of my age, and I'm smiling when I say that. Now, I know with the opposite sex, that is a no-no. You will be sent home when you start talking about age. And that's the same thing here. I do get a little sensitive when they say, well, is the fire still burning, alluding to the fact of age. And so I do kind of, I guess, apologize for being a little more sensitive about that than I used to be. But certainly, I say this, I don't know that any time in my life that I've ever had so many appointments, so much to do, and so much on my plate. I don't know when I've been any more aggressive financially. So whatever's happening is good, and it works that way in several other things I do, man.
Oh, my God, that's awesome. I love it. Okay, so we've wondered, what is it? What is the common thread in when he's called in? He's called in, I can't remember what he called in to our show about. He called in to us a couple times. I can't remember what it was.
There was one time he called in where it was just to have fun.
Right.
Like him and Rosie were driving around, and he heard us talking about it.
Right.
He just called in to have fun.
The
which
other
is
time
great.
Was when you guys were at the Super Bowl, and you guys had fish on, and age came into the question.
Right.
And
that happened for sure. And then, but I don't remember the impetus when we were in studio. I thought
that
he was just goofing around with us.
In studio wasn't the time where Fish was talking about his medical thing?
No, that was at the Super Bowl.
Okay. Oh, that's right. That was at the Super Bowl. Yeah. I can't remember what the in-studio one was, but yeah,
didn't they
Fish,
call your phone, Ben?
Yeah, they called my phone. I'm like, yeah, I can't pop Mr. Jones on from my cell phone. but Fish was talking about the window, and that was an age thing. And, you know, Dawson was talking about the age thing, but I think Dawson had some fair points that are definitely worthy of having a conversation about. And it wasn't – I don't think he was as much talking, and we can visit with him about it next in the mix. I don't think he was saying Jerry's over the hill or anything like that. What he was saying is I believe, and I'm paraphrasing, but that it's human nature that you let off the gas once you've won.
Yep.
And I think that's what he was talking about. And we've had that conversation before about LeBron, about
Dirk. Yeah.
You know, once you get – you know, that ring or rings, do things change for you? And I think it's, you know, it's Jerry's obviously wants to speak for himself, and that's great that he does that. But I think it's fair to wonder. It's fair to wonder, and it's fair to think about. But I love it when he calls in. I love that he's a Tolo of the station, and I think it's gold every time.
Okay, other things that Jerry discussed with us, we can talk about the negotiating stuff and all those kinds of things, but the gaming stuff is so interesting, and we didn't get to this clip earlier because we were talking about, you know, how the gaming is expanding the audience and all that kind of stuff. But we also asked him about how long he thought it would take before all these restrictions are lifted. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of gold in this answer. It's clip number 68, Shippy.
Well, I've got a lot of faith in the system being the United States and our economic system. And you can put a stone, a little boulder in the creek, and the water will figure out a way to get around it. And so the whole point, and I'm talking about above board, nothing clandestine, nothing cute, but the system will, our system, our economic system, the interest, the power of all of that, it's like water. It will just find its way, and it's powerful. And so I wouldn't dare get into detail of all the nuances, the state regulations, how it's going to be handled by the different leagues, teams, all of that. But it will certainly be very impactful to sports, and certainly the NFL, which has the greatest viewing audience there is. It will be impactful financially as well as increasing the interest. The key to the NFL, frankly, is the fact that our games have always, always will be, as long as the group that I'm involved with are involved in it. It will always be really primarily done on free television. Free. Not ESPN, not those subscriptions. It'll be done on free. And the fact that it's free promotes it. And it makes all those other niche areas, I'll call them, other ways of looking at the game possible.
I love it. First thing it reminded me of was Fortnite. Fortnite's the most profitable video game in the history of video games, and it's free.
Yeah, and I think the other thing he's talking about there too, Ben, and you've been hitting on it a lot the last couple of days, is those networks don't have a lot of stuff left where they can really sell that advertising, and we're getting a big old chunk of that. So therefore, you're going to be able to find our product for free because we are lining our pockets with that network money, and that ain't going to change. And while that's going on, all that's doing, you know, when he's talking about water as a powerful force that'll find its way, he's basically saying, it's the great O.J. song, give the people what they want.
Mm-hmm. People, O.J. sang too?
The great O.J.'s.
The great O.J. Simpson.
Hey, Twitter world.
Hey, O.J.
Hey, O.J.
Give the people what they want. And the people want gambling. And the people want their alcohol. And the people want their weed. And you can put up these.
I want their pie.
He was talking about putting the boulder in the water. Well, it's just going to eventually go around the boulder and create a new path. And so he's sitting there. This is like what Adam Silver was talking about. All right, guys, we can all stand up here and pretend like these quote-unquote vices aren't going on. Or we can go ahead and make the money off of our product. Now, he said it, and Jerry said it a very smart way at the very beginning. I believe in America. And I believe in our systems that are in place. And, boy, I believe in these regulations. And I'm not challenging any of the systems here because I'm making a lot of money off these systems. But you know what? You can throw a boulder in that water, and the water is a powerful force. It's just going to go where it goes. Do you guys have anybody in your circle that wants to gamble or place bets that isn't able to do it?
No.
No.
No. Everybody listening, really, you need a bookie? I'll hook you up. Everybody listening that wants to place bets is able to place bets. They got to do it illegally. And so it's like, that's what he's saying. Well, we can stick this boulder in the water. The water's just going to go around the boulder. So why don't we remove the boulder and have all this water rush into our pockets? But, hey, we're going to do it respectfully. We respect the American system, and we respect all that. But if the people want it, they're going to get it. So these owners are crazy not to be in cahoots with all the forces that be. And while we were having this discussion with Jerry, it showed up in our inboxes. Dallas Cowboys are going to have a new part of their Dallas Cowboys app that allows you to do in-game competitions for prize money.
Yeah.
Okay, so, not prize money, prizes, right?
It's prize money, $1,000 a week.
It is prize money?
That's what I read in the thing.
How about that? Okay. Okay.
But it's a contest. It's not gambling.
It's a contest.
Okay.
That's how DraftKings and FanDuel were able to get around.
Right. What do they say?
It's a contest. It's skill. It's not gambling.
Right. So the logic behind gambling being a vice is that it's just throwing money to the wind and luck either shines on you or not. And then the argument for sports wagering, or in this case fantasy football, is no, it's based on acquiring knowledge, and it's a skill, and the way that you play that is a skill. It's like, all right, we're getting into minutia here,
right?
But the whole point is that the exact headline: Dallas Cowboys launch in-app free to play predictive games for $10,000 of grand prizes.
Ooh, predictive games.
So you're not wagering your own money,
right?
You're sitting here playing these games. And what they're doing is they're indoctrinating you into their world until you can go ahead and make the bets.
Yeah, they're getting that, getting you signed up on their stuff.
Absolutely.
Now, the way you do those games is very interesting. I remember as a child, like when Monday Night Football would be happening, and I'm, 8 to 10, 11 years old, they had this little thing that you could get on ESPN.com and you could guess what the play is going to be. So, like, you guess the play. Back then, the internet was really slow, too. 20 years ago.
Didn't matter.
First down, you could say run, and then you'd get points if it was a run play. And then if you say pass for however many yards, and you would get these points.
I am the greatest.
They weren't giving kids money like me or anything, but I imagine when I heard the predictive gameplay, I imagine something in game. I'm predicting handoff to Zeke.
Yeah.
I'm predicting likely a check down to Witten or Cobb. We'll see how the offense goes. But I imagine it's something like that, although I don't have the rules, and they didn't really say what the rules were.
No, they're just saying it's coming and download the app.
And what to say, if you want to know more, you can go download the free DallasCowboys.com app. That's what you should
do. That's so great. Like he said, it's free. By the way, Clarence Hill had this a couple minutes ago, introducing the 2019 Cowboys team captains.
All right. Can we guess?
Yep.
I think Travis is back.
Incorrect.
He's going to have to prove it.
So did they leave Zach as one of the offensive linemen captains in?
Yep.
Elvie LeDucer.
Last year it was Dak and Zach and Sean Lee and Chris Jones. And there was one more. Who am I forgetting?
So there's two from offense, two from defense, and two from special teams. Special teams are Chris Jones and Jeff Heath.
Okay. Oh, wow. That's how they got around that. So
offense is Dak and Zach.
Defense is Byron.
Nope.
Defense is Jalen.
Yep.
Tank.
Yep.
And Tank.
There it is.
That makes sense.
Marcus Lawrence.
So guys that have all gotten paid.
Yeah. You know, I don't know.
Except Dak.
Yeah. Except Dak.
I think this could cause a little locker room ruckus.
How so?
Yeah, you know, just kind of guys going, you know, why does this guy get to be a captain?
Only Antonio Brown will do that when he gets here.
I heard Jordan Chun is pissed.
Coming up next, the G-Bag Nation joins us. We'll find out what's on their show on a football Friday, and we'll wrap things up from the Eagles Nest at 8455 Boat Club Road. We mix with G-Bag next on 105.3 The Fan. Thank you, Shippy. It's the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan, wrapping things up from the Eagles Nest out here in Fort Worth. 8455 Boat Club Road. This is a great place to hang out. We certainly appreciate them having us as their guests here today. I've had a good time broadcasting. Don't forget, we did have Jerry Jones on the presentation earlier, and it was a lot of fun. We've just put that podcast out. We have a Twitter account that is specifically for podcast, at Ben and Skin on Twitter, and we just tweeted that out. We usually tweet our best segments of the day, put them out on that Twitter feed. So we'd appreciate it if you're on Twitter to follow at Ben and Skin. And man, I don't know about you guys, but I'm ready for a weekend of football. You got two massive college games that impact Texas and Texas A&M and impact us here locally. And then, of course, getting the Cowboys season going, getting the fantasy football season going. Life is good when football is back.
It is. I'm ecstatic. I'm so excited about these games that we have tomorrow. And then whenever you get the Sunday slate going, Cowboys, the afternoon game, there is lots of good stuff to take in. And we will be right back here on Monday starting at 10 o'clock to break it all down for you.
I think we can all agree all eyes are going to be on SMU and UNT. Nope. 6 p.m. tomorrow
nope,
night.
They're not even going.
Game's in SMU this time.
So how far is that from your house? Less than a mile?
Less than a mile.
And you're not going. But you're a UNT guy.
Yeah, got to
be always on campus.
Got to be a multiple screen guy. Got to watch that Texas LSU stuff, you know.
Do they have gambling kiosks
there?
Did
you go to Texas and LSU?
No, I just got a lot of friends who went there. You know,
that'd have been awesome if KT went to Texas and LSU.
Yeah, brought us in Hellman. My LSU guys, you know, I got some Texas guys.
I'm just saying, you claim to be Mr. UNT, but you're not even going to their game. That's in your, it's like at your house in your front yard, and you won't watch it.
Yeah, it's gonna be hot out there, man. It's gonna be hot.
Yeah, just look through the window.
It's like 100 degrees out there.
What do you guys expect from Mizzou and West Virginia?
Well, shut up, Shippy.
Last time I went to SMU,
UNT. Good.
God, people freaked out here.
Last time I went to SMU,
kidding, everybody. Don't worry about it.
UNT at SMU.
I'll shut up now.
I was kicked out of the game.
Oh.
For drunkenly. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, is that when you pulled it out?
Classic. No, I was.
Put the victory?
Poor. Yeah.
Pulled out the victory?
I was drunkenly video bombing the SMU mascot, and I've got my Mean Green stuff on, and I'm doing the caw-caw while he's trying to give a shirt to this poor kid. Like, it was like a touching
Kevin.
Tribute, and I was kind of pushing the horse out of the way, kind of humping it and stuff.
What did that lady just hand you? What is that?
It's his check. Oh. Joining us now to talk about what's on their fine presentation today, it is the G-Bag Nation. Boys, how you doing?
Doing outstanding. How are you?
Man, we're great. We're having fun. You know, in changing our spots in the batting order, one of the coolest things for us is the ability to have Jerry Jones on the show every week, something we haven't done in a long time. I don't think we've ever had a weekly with him. We've only rarely had him on, actually, over the years. And so we're very much enjoying that. And, man, I would love to get your thoughts. I know you guys will be getting into the audio throughout the day, but I'd love to get your thoughts, Gavin, on what you thought Jerry was saying about the things that draw him offsides and get him to call in. It seems like if it has to do with age or his burning desire to win, he's picking up a phone.
Yeah, you know, and I would like to totally expunge any mention of his age from the record if I was responsible for that, because I think he's still, you know, quite a badass at 75, 76. I think he could probably still whoop me.
Old man strength.
So, you know, I think it, from that perspective, maybe there was a miscommunication or I misspoke or, you know, I just got carried away. I don't think age is a factor here. I just think the number of Super Bowls that he got has put him in a state of mind where he only wants to get one his way. And if you take away those Super Bowls, he would then be willing to do anything it took to get a Super Bowl. You know, now he's still trying to prove he can get him without Jimmy. That's my perspective.
Yeah, you know, the other thing, too, is I like the way he worded all that, where he was talking about, he actually even kind of apologized for being, quote-unquote, sensitive to that. I think that that's pretty fascinating, too, because we always talk about Jerry being bulletproof. And, you know, people very rarely, especially in those kind of positions, like don't want to admit to weaknesses and things like that. He basically came on the air and said, hey, if you guys want to get up under my skin, then say that I don't have the fire burning or that I'm too old to do this. And he used that word, I'm sensitive to that. That's all. I mean, there's a lot of great things to talk about Jerry, you know, talk about with Jerry. And you guys know this because you've interviewed him so many times. But he's a fascinating listen. And aside from however you feel about the team or the way the team is running, that is a life really fully lived. And there's a lot of wisdom in there, and there's a lot of really colorful ways of expressing that wisdom. And I just relish hearing all that and engaging in all that as well.
Yeah, you know, he's got a lot of good stuff going on. And I don't want to backtrack or anything from any of my comments because, you know, I feel like it is true. And, you know, it's not fun to age, even at middle age, even, you know, by the time you're in your 30s. Talk to a 5 or 6 year old. This is the number one thing on our minds and on our psyches. And we're all trying to get a good handle on before it's our time to check out. So, you know, if there is anxiety there, I want to be sensitive to that. I don't mean to, try to go out there and make his day any worse. But I think there's very valid points to make that those three Super Bowls satisfied something for him that's allowed him to put his priorities elsewhere.
I think that's all fair for conversation. And, you know, I think another thing you could say is the Hall of Fame jacket. And we talked about it about our favorite human, Dirk, too. It's only human nature once you have some success to let off the accelerator. But it's an interesting discussion nonetheless. Also an interesting discussion is when dogs order porn.
Yep. Always said that.
Which happens sometimes. And now with more on a breaking story involving dogs and porn, here's Kevin Turner.
So a man by the name of Thomas Barnes has been charged with a $70 bill from DirecTV after he ordered the Hustler channel on pay-per-view. He claims it's because his Bichon Frise dog, Merino, Merino jumped on the bed and stepped on the remote control and accidentally ordered the Hustler channel. So my question to you guys is...
What's Dan doing?
Merino's always been a wild one ever since that whole Finkel and Einhorn thing.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Place is out.
I'm going to watch so much questionable porn on your computer.
Did the dog do this, or does this guy have a bad excuse for getting caught with a Hustler bill?
I'd like to know what combination of things on what device a dog would have to hit to order that particular thing.
Guide. Up.
Right.
Up. Hey,
so the question
credit
is...
Credit card information confirmed.
The question is this the rare $70 porn? And if so, my God, what's happening in that?
No.
Or is it a series of shows that the dog continually ordered and just couldn't stop ordering once it accidentally stepped on that remote once, and it just kept going and going and going?
It's the Hustler channel for 1 month, $70.
Oh, that could be like a 1 or 2 click combination. I'm not going to rule out Merino here.
So he could have technically seen that go down and immediately called his cable provider and said, hey, I'm going to have to watch Hustler for a month because my dog stepped on it. And then please remove it after that.
You're not suggesting this is a peanut butter situation where he's eating a sandwich and watching porn. The dog jumps, grabs the sandwich, accidentally steps on the remote.
I thought you said the dog was eating the sandwich. Like one of those poker playing dogs. It's always doing human stuff.
I wonder if the dog's a two sandwich guy.
I think two sandwich dog, that could be a problem. Okay, so I'm with you on this, Jeff. The there's a multi-click situation here, which I think if
click,
yeah, yep. If the dog just stepped on the remote one time and happened to order or something, maybe. But I don't think you could just accidentally click on ordering the channel for a month.
Speak for yourself. Peanut butter and jealous.
Well, and if the dog ordered it, that means that the person never had that queued up as the current channel, which means the dog did have to kind of go guide, scroll right. a little bit, yeah, okay, right. confirm.
Well, when it's late at night, that dog is searching. Yeah. So it's a little bit funnier when the cat does it.
Dogs are smarter than you think. That's all I'm going to say.
In 2016, a British company created a remote control for dogs called WAGG, W-A-G-G. So you could have this remote control that could like withstand the chewing and slobbering that a dog might do.
Oh, no.
But I just think this guy's got a bad excuse for, having to pay that much money for...
Yes.
Like, dude, this is free now, man. I think that's the economics of the adult industry. It's real shocking. Right. I could have never envisioned this as a kid and when you guys were in high school, But like what I'm thinking is that it's all free. So why is he paying for that?
That is a great question.
Hustler can't be giving you the primo content.
This is the best commercial Hustler's ever had because I'm sitting there going, man, what is on that channel?
Yeah, I got to go order that.
$70?
Guys, what's coming up on the show today?
Pure Gold as always, Ben. Thank you so much for asking. We're going to have, check out this, 4:40 Eric Nadel, 5 o'clock Babe Laufenberg talking Cowboys Giants, then 5:15 Jared Sandler with us to get you set for the pregame show.
God, I can't wait to hear from Babe. I bet that's going to be amazing.
Yeah, that's going to be powerful. Awesome stuff, man. Hey, looking forward to listening to the show, guys.